chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Lord's laid this message on my heart some time ago. This is the first time I've had an opportunity to preach it. Been kind of anxious to preach it this time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that, pardon me, I'll let you all find it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I'll just read again. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto the salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning is Salvation, Plain, Pure, and Simple. Amen. Salvation, plain, pure, and simple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for this morning. I ask you, Father, to touch each and every heart and life this morning. Anoint my lips of clay to preach. Anoint our hearts and ears to hear. If there's anybody here this morning that's not right with you, I ask you to deal with them especially now. In Jesus' name, amen. Salvation, plain, pure, and simple. Amen. A few years ago, a man by the name of Dr. Curtis Hudson, the editor of the Sword of Lord, late editor of the Sword of Lord, I ask, had a sermon out, Salvation, Pure and Simple. Then a few months ago, earlier part of this year, January 1st, in fact, probably one of the best friends I've had in this life, as far as an earthly friend, Brother Ronnie, a man by the name of Dorman Phillips. I went to high school with his oldest son, graduated the same class, so he was an older man than me, but in reality, I don't think I've had a closer friend other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as an earthly friend, Dorman Phillips was probably my closest. You know, I used to love going over to his house, especially after he got saved, and we'd talk about all kinds of things. He'd tell me things that happened to him during war. We talked about different political issues, and we didn't always see eye to eye on everything, religion and politics. But I can't say I honestly had a closer friend than him, because he was a close friend. And I'll never forget one expression he had, plain, pure, and simple. You know, he might deal with a political issue, and he said, that's the facts, plain, pure, and simple. He might deal with an economic issue, and he said, that's the facts, plain, pure, and simple. Well, this morning, I want to deal with salvation, plain, pure, and simple. Amen. You know, this morning, I thank the Lord that this message of salvation is a message, plain, pure, and simple. First off, it is a plain message. As I think about it being plain, I can't help but think about the issue of the sin matter of mankind. As we read in the Bible, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God." That is a very plain message, is it not? All have sinned. All have sinned. It doesn't matter this morning whether you was the worst person or the best. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter whether you was a drunkard or a homosexual, or whether you was just a moral person who didn't know Jesus Christ. All have sinned. Amen. The Bible's plain. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Man is born in sin. For Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 58 verse 3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Sin is the problem of mankind. mind. What is sin? First off, in second, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, whosoever commits sin transgresseth also the law, for the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. It's a transgression of the law of God. The other term, it's missing the mark. Missing the mark. It's missing the mark of God's righteousness when a man sins. And you know, it doesn't matter. You know, let's say today I was out shooting a bow and arrow. That's often kind of what I think of whenever I think of missing the mark. And you got that bullseye. You know, if you got that circle, some people, you know, are such bad archers, they couldn't hit the side of a barn. Some, that's all they would hit, as I heard one time. Some might miss the bullseye by just a little bit. Some might miss it by far. Some might just completely be off the target. It doesn't matter. As long as you don't hit that bullseye, you've missed the mark. Amen. It don't matter how close you are. You still, if you're not there, you've missed the mark. Amen. Salvation is a plain message about sin. It separates one from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, the first portion, thou art of pure eyes that behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. God hates sin. Now I want you to know, before I go any further, God doesn't hate the sinner, amen? But God hates sin. Sin's abominable. Sin's a blight. Sin's something God despises and God hates. Sin must be punished. As we all know, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's not necessarily physical death now. But thanks to sin, we have physical death. You know what I believe? If man never commits sin in the Garden of Eden, we have never known death. We have never known what it's like to be to a funeral parlor. We have never known what it's like to have a wife in the hospital facing a major cancer operation. If man had never sinned, that's right. We never know what it's like to have a grandchild with pneumonia in the hospital. Amen. But you know what? It's more than just physical death. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's an appointment for all mankind. And as is appointed unto men once to die after this to judgment, the saints as well as the sinners will die. Amen. But there's a worse death than just physical death. There's the death of being separated from God and in eternity. The Bible calls a place hell. In Luke 16, verse 23 and 24, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and see if Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place. In this flame, hell is a place of everlasting punishment. This morning, it's called everlasting burnings. In Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14, in Mark chapter 9, verse 45 and 46, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better thee to enter into in the life than having 2 feet cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Hell is a real place. It's a place that people forget about. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14 says, hell hath enlarged herself. I believe it's a real place. Amen. Salvation is a plain message. It tells about sin. And it tells about the punishment of sin. But you know what? This morning, as horrible as hell is, amen, there's even a worse thing than that. For after, the Bible says, and as is appointed in the men, once to die after this, the judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 and 13, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which was in it. And the death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. I want you to know this morning, I believe in the doctrine of the white throne judgment. I believe it'll be a horrible time. Now, I want to tell you what I believe about it. I believe there's more than one judgment in the Bible. There's a judgment seat of Christ. That's where we who are the redeemed will stand. And that's where our works will be judged, whether good or bad. And what it means by good or bad is not necessarily sinful and evil, you know, sinful and good. It's actually whether we've done it according to the right motives or not. Amen. I believe that'll happen during the tribulation period before the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are the redeemed. But there's a later judgment called the white throne. And that's not when the redeemed stand before God. It's when the unredeemed are. And I believe it's going to be the worst judgment of all time. And I'm not going to ask anybody to show your hands if you've ever stood before an earthly judge. But I believe it's going to be more frightening than stand before an earthly judge facing even a possible death sentence. I'm going to tell you something. As horrible as stand before an earthly judge, and I'm a man, when you stand before an earthly judge, you always address him or her, Your Honor, Your Honor. Out of respect for that person, knowing that they had the power to judge you as far as sending you to jail or whatever it is. Amen. But I believe as much horrible as that is, when you stand before the judge of all mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never known him, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a more frightening time. Amen. Because Acts chapter 17, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men that he raised him from the dead. Today, I believe there's coming a white throne judgment. The Bible says, amen, there's coming a day where every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things under heaven, and things in earth and things under heaven, and every knee shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to glory to God the Father. That's the white throne judgment. And every sin that's ever been done, has never been dealt with, has never been put before the blood, under the blood of Jesus Christ, we brought up before the whole world. There won't be a secret that won't be brought up before God, that won't be brought. I'll tell you what, sins people never dreamed will be shouted from the rooftops that day. Every sin will be exposed that's not under the blood of Christ. It's going to be a horrible day. Salvation's a plain message. And after the judgment's over, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and they'll be tormented day and night forevermore. There'll be no rest for the unrighteous. There'll be no unrest for the devil and his angels, for they'll all be cast into the lake of fire forevermore. Salvation is a plain message. But thank God it's not just a plain message. It's a pure message. What do you mean? You know, I've heard it said in Bible school, a holy God cannot look upon the sin with any degree of tolerance. A just God cannot help but punish sin, but a God who loves cannot help but make a way of escape. It's a pure message dealing with a pure Savior, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the pure Son of God. He came into this world born of a virgin. virgin. Amen. You believe in the virgin birth? Yes, I do. The Bible's very plain that he was born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son." I tell you what, this morning, I believe in the virgin birth. Jesus, being born of a virgin, was uncontaminated by the sin nature of Adam, which we all have. Amen. Jesus was born of a virgin. Amen. Not only that, but he was a pure Savior. Number one, he is God, the second person of the Trinity. Amen. I believe he's from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Jesus always was and always is and always will be. Amen. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the end. He's God, the second person of the Trinity. Thank God he came into this world, put on human flesh. And when he lived on this world, he knew no sin. The Bible says, 1 Peter 2, 21-24. Amen. For even because, as you were called, because Christ have also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was iniquity found in his mouth. Amen. 1 Peter 1:9 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot this morning, Jesus never knew sin. He was a pure Son of God. He knew no sin. He died on the cross for the sins of mankind. He took upon the sins of every person here this morning. Every sin that ever would be committed, he bore on his body. He was a pure Son of God. He became the sacrifice, bearing our sins. Amen. And died a cruel death. The Bible says God committed his love towards us, and while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus went beyond his word. His word said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man die for his friends. You know what? He died for us. We were his enemies, estranged from God, deserving the judgment of God upon our life. He died for us. Amen. He knew no sin, became sin for us, and we may be the righteousness of God in him. Amen. He died on the cross, bore the sins of man on his body. But thank God, he just didn't die a cruel death, though he did die a very cruel death. But then in there, for 3 days later, he arose from the dead. The Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He died for mankind, that he may be pure, that he may be righteous, that he may be holy. Amen. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. As I quoted earlier, for he made him to be sin for us, to us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. This morning, Jesus died for mankind, that he could be made free from his sin, that he could be forgiven, that his sins could be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have come new. If you was a drunkard, hey, thank God, he'll take you and he'll free you from alcohol. If you was an adulterer, he'll free you from adultery. If you was a homosexual, he'll free you from being a homosexual. This morning, he can free people from drugs. He can free people from all kinds of sins. He can free people from gossip. Amen. From lies, slander. He can free you from it all this morning. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in. If therefore the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. For salvation is a pure message. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Jesus the Holy Son of God, died for the sins of mankind, that we may be pure and holy unto God ourselves. Salvation is a plain message. It's a pure message. And thank God, it's a simple message. It's simple in His plan of salvation. First and foremost, you got to see your need. What do you mean? No, there's people out here because they grew up in a Christian home, think they're okay. As I heard it said recently, God ain't got no grandkids. You got to come to Jesus Christ on your own. You got to come repenting, recognizing your own need. You know who Jesus had some of the harshest words for when he was in his earthly ministry? It wasn't for the thief on the cross. It wasn't for the prostitutes. It wasn't for the drunks and the thieves and the murderers. It was for the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of that day and age. Can I be honest? Some people think because they grew up in a Christian home, because they belong to a certain religious group or what, they think they're okay. You know, I encourage parents to train their kids right. Amen. I'm sure Sarah will verify to that. Train up your children in the way they shall go. When he is old, he will not depart from them. You need to raise your children in church. You need to read them the Word of God and encourage them to know the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, I believe in Christian schools, and you need to send them to a Christian school if you can. Amen? But I'll tell you something else. As much as Christian training's good, somewhere along the line, you need to encourage your son or your daughter. Listen, this is good what you're being trained in church. It's good that you know the Word of God. It's good that you understand why we believe what we believe. It's good to know all this stuff. But as good as it is, it's not what's going to get you to heaven. It's getting your heart right with God Almighty. It's acknowledging your need that you are a sinner in danger of hell. I'll tell you what, I encourage parents to teach their children the right ways. But I also encourage them, while you're teaching that, make sure you show them that they need to be saved. Amen. That they need to repent of their sins. That's the first thing you need to know, is that you're a sinner. Bound for hell. As the Bible says, they who are sick need a physician. Amen. They are whole, need not a physician, but they who are sick. You know what? I'm the type of guy, I don't like going to a doctor unless I have to. Know that? And sometimes I'll try to avoid the have to, even if after I am sick. Amen. So you know, if I'm going to a doctor, I'm very, very sick. That's just me. But I want you to know something this morning. Some people, the reason they're lost is because they just never been able to see the need. They're not saved. That's the first thing you need to do. The second thing you need to do is realize Jesus is the only way to be saved. Amen. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. That name is Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to be saved this morning, and that's through Jesus and His shed blood on Calvary. Only one way. It's through Jesus. Then you need to, after you recognize that, you need to repent of your sins. The Bible says, Acts 17:30, amen. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but have now commanded all men everywhere to repent. What is repentance? It is a change of mind about sin that leads to a changed life. It is repentance is sorrow over sin. Not sorrow because you got caught, but rather because you broke the heart of God. It's when you realize, hey, I've done the wrong thing, that I'm on the wrong road, I'm heading to hell now. Now you realize, hey, I've got to change my ways. I'm sorry because I've grieved the heart of God. Amen. I think the best definition of repentance is found in the Word of God. I've often thought the Bible, the King James Version, may I add, has its own written dictionary. You know what the best definition of repentance is? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. That's the best definition of repentance. Amen. Repentance is a turning from sin. Except the man repent. Except y'all repent, ye shall likewise perish. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You need to repent, and then by faith receive Jesus. It's by faith we're saved. Ephesians chapter 2:8-9 says, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This morning, salvation is through faith. Amen. By faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This morning, we need to, by faith, receive Jesus, both Savior and Lord. Amen. By faith, receive him. You know, you don't have to pray a long prayer to be saved. You know, I've heard of people saying they prayed for days to get saved. Well, I'm not trying to condemn those people at all, because maybe there was something in their heart and their life they wasn't really wanting to give up, and they had to struggle with that one thing. But thank God, I don't believe salvation is that complicated of a matter. All you have to do is just recognize your need, repent, and by faith, just take him at his word. Ask him to come in your heart. You don't have to pray an elaborate prayer. I wasn't talking to you about this, about the thief on the cross. You know what? He didn't pray a long, elaborate prayer. He just recognized who Jesus was. He just recognized that he was deserving of that death on the cross. And I just believe somewhere along the line, he repented in his heart of those sins, and he turned to the Lord. Lord, remember me when I come into thy kingdom. Not a great prayer was as far as man goes, but you know what? It was great as far as God goes. For he said, for Jesus turned to that wicked sinner, and he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, I don't know what happened when he went down into the underworld that day. But I'll tell you one thing I do believe. I believe shortly after Jesus arrived, just a short time later, when that thief came down, I'll just tell you what I believe. This is just Chip Roy commentary. You don't have to accept it. Amen. I could be 100% wrong, but I believe when he came into the paradise, that wicked old sinner, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, I believe Jesus took him aside and shown him to Abraham and shown him to David and shown him to all these other Old Testament saints. And he said, you know, all these Old Testament saints could tell about the great exploits they done for God. If he asked him, son, tell him what you did. I murdered some people. I was a thief all my life. I broke my mother and my father's heart. I'd done everything I knew against God's law. And probably Abraham and David and some of the others was wondering, why is this man here? He said, because when I was dying on the cross, deservedly for my iniquities, deservedly for my sins, I looked to this man, Jesus, and I said, Lord, remember me. And he said, son, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I found him by his grace and by his blood on Calvary. And today I'm with you all. And right after that, I believe they went out, paradise was closed, and they went on into the streets of heaven. Amen. And today there's some old wicked man, I don't know what his name was, who died on the cross rejoicing in the glory of God because he received Jesus Christ when he was dying on the cross for his sins. This morning, do you know Jesus? I believe most of you do. But maybe somewhere you've just got a little cold towards him. Today, I just want to give you this challenge. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, amen, will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, become the sons of God, even as many that believe on his name. This morning, salvation is a plain message. It's a pure message. But thank God, it's a simple message. A simple message of faith. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, he wants to be your Savior and your best friend. This morning, I'm just going to go ahead and give a general article. Is that okay? And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, come ask him into your heart and life. He'll come. Amen. Let's just everybody come and pray and seek the face of the Lord now. Amen. Let's everybody come.